right now I want to bring on air former researcher for BBC London, reporter for BBC Wiltshire Sound, helped establish Eye Contact Video Network and Eco Village Network UK. Since 2009, he's has produced and presented Friday Drive Time, the weekly politics show on Bristol Community FM, which gives a provincial perspective on the news of Britain and around the world. Bilderberg.org is his website. I would say he's best known for doing great work reporting on the corrupt, ruling, fascistic class controlling our planet. But I wanted to get Tony on because this whole News Corps situation is exploding, and I want to get his take on why this is happening. We're not saying Rupert Murdoch's a good guy, but this is par for the course activity for a lot of big Fortune 100 media companies. Why is this happening now? If you're in favor of the globalist, if you're in good standing, you can literally engage in any type of mayhem you wish. AP, UK Prime Minister calls for emergency session of Parliament over this. Of course, you know, yesterday the head of Scotland Yard had to step down reportedly with a bribery investigation. The head of News Corps in England, Rebecca Brooks, has been arrested over the weekend. Murdoch ran in there last week to meet with her and obviously get the story straight. Continuing also now, this morning, the head of the Metropolitan Police, the police commissioner, also resigned, and this goes right up to Cameron, and that's why he's acting like he's investigating the whole thing. Joining us is reporter Tony Gosling. Tony, thanks for coming on with us.
Hi, Alex. Thanks very much for having me on.
Okay, what's the inside baseball? What's the inside cricket on this, or the inside soccer? What's the intel you got? I mean, I want to get into the scandal, but why is this happening now?
Well, just to let you know, we've just heard in the last hour or so that not only the number one policeman in Britain resigned yesterday, but we've also had the number two resign as well, just literally within the last hour or so. So Sir Paul Stevenson resigned yesterday about 7 p.m. our time, and literally just this afternoon we've had his number two, who's the head of counterterrorism for the entire country, resign today. He resigned because they were threatening him basically with suspension, and that's John Yates. So we've had a really totally unprecedented situation. I don't think ever in history have Britain's two top policemen resigned within 24 hours. It's absolutely astounding. And it's just kind of as I predicted in a way, because last week I was saying that this investigation is now moving away from News International for a while, from the Rupert Murdoch empire, and now is looking at the police handling of the whole affair, because the Metropolitan Police have had information about corruption at News International for something like 7 or 8 years, sitting on their books.
Yeah, at least 2005 is what major papers are reporting.
Yeah, so why haven't they acted on that? That's the question. And, you know, this was clearly not a small little bit of phone hacking that was going on of royal telephones, which is the way they wanted it to appear. And what's happened, of course, is all these policemen have sat down together and say, well, do you think we want to investigate ourselves? And then they've decided not to. So that's why this is really starting to unfold. It's like a dam breaking, Alex. You know, they've been trying to put little bits of wood to prop the thing up for the last 6 or 7 years, and finally, there's no way they're going to prop it up anymore, because the truth is coming out now. We've got some decent police on this Operation Weeting doing a proper investigation. And we just heard also that other newspapers, there's been police raids at other tabloid newspapers like the Daily Star, for example, and the police are really going for it now, it seems. And of course, that means that those police that are basically corrupt and have refused to investigate this in the past, or have only done partial investigations, that they've got prima facie evidence of criminal activity which they've not acted on, those were the guys who are now in the frame too. They're in the dock most definitely, and I don't think that these two police, and let's not forget also that John Yates, the top counter-terrorism policeman in Britain. So it raises all sorts of questions about the way he's handled all the fallout from the 7/7 London bombings, and the police handling of terrorism generally in Britain is now also under question, because it's been shown that Yates has basically moved around the whole issue and made sure that the embarrassing questions being asked about why he hasn't been pursuing the phone hacking have come home to roost. So absolutely crisis at the Metropolitan Police right now. The question is, who is actually going to be a credible person to take over? And I think there's a real problem here, because we've just heard announced within the last 10-15 minutes that the person who who's taking over from Yates, the head of the counterterrorism unit, is Cressida Dick. Now, you may never have heard of Cressida Dick, this lady policeman, but she was the one who was promoted after her botched operation, which led to the death of the Brazilian electrician Jean-Charles de Menezes and the London Underground Tube, where just after the 7/7 London bombings, Menezes was basically assassinated by what looks like a kind of SAS unit attached to the Metropolitan Police. And Cressida Dick presided over the killing of Jean-Charles de Menezes. So it looks to me as if we're going to have another crisis when it's decided that she is not necessarily the best person to be in charge of counterterrorism.
Sure.
Her big badge of honor is a massive botched operation.
So you're saying, or an operation that went quite well to get rid of a witness, they said he ran when they shot him. The truth is they sat on him, squatted on him, and unloaded their clips into his head and chest, making sure they got rid of that.
Well, he really, I think the people who did that actually really did believe that this guy was a terrorist. But Cressida Dick, it was her on her watch that it all happened. She was gold commander on that operation. And Peter Power was the guy that brought in, this is the 7/7 chap, who was the guy that brought in this bronze, silver, gold commander system, which there's been a lot of questions over at the Metropolitan Police.
That's right. He was the former spokesman of Scotland Yard. He went on ITN that day during the bombings, right after them, and said, it's quite remarkable. We had a drill of the exact same bus and exact same trains at the exact same locations at the exact same time. It's quite incredible.
Yeah, he's a bit of a sort of spooky figure. You can imagine him kind of waltzing across the screen in some kind of 1970s horror film, I think. You know, he's a very strange character. There's also a lot of criticism of John Yates and Sir Paul Stevenson, who was the chief of the Metropolitan Police, who was on yesterday, for actually hiring what turned out to be basically crooks into the Public Relations Department at Scotland Yard. So, Alex, this is really unfolding now, and I don't think, I mean, there are big cracks appearing in the dam, and it hasn't actually finished breaking yet. This has got a long way to go still.
Okay, well, listening to you, Tony, I know you're right there in England and are a journalist and know a lot of these players, so I respect your view on this. And I agree this should all be investigated. My problem is, as you were just alluding to, it's like shark teeth. You get the head of Scotland Yard, you get the police commissioner and others having to step down reportedly because of the cover-up, and then into their place rolls another row of people that are just as unsavory. And so that's the issue here. We know that they've known for at least 6.5-7 years about this, and that it goes a lot deeper than just phone hacking. The information that's come out is that they have MI5, MI6, and local police spying on members of parliament to then use dirt on them for blackmail. That's the inside baseball that I've been told, but I didn't want to go public.
And MI6, Alex. This is private investigators who are actually, some of them are maybe ex-police or ex-security services. But they
contractors, mercenaries.
Legal rights as the security service do. I don't think, most people don't have a problem with having a kind of official spy agency that actually does see as its role national security to make sure.
But Tony, my point is, just to interject.
People are not like that. They are actually just private hired guns who've been hired by News International to do something criminal.
No, I understand that, but what I'm saying is it's come out multiple times in the last few years, over and over again, that MI5 has been spying on members of parliament, and so that was the issue I was raising. Now, let's go back to the New York Post. That's also owned by Murdoch. It's come out, that was his big flagship New York paper till he got the Wall Street Journal, that the Page Six would basically threaten to print dirt about people unless they got money. And so we've seen those scandals. What I'm asking you is, you say that it's much worse than just phone hacking, Tony. Are the allegations that it's blackmail? Or can you tell us if the rabbit hole starts with the phone hacking, and you're saying this is just the beginning of the dam breaking, what else is behind the dam?
Well, certainly there's now also evidence that live phone calls have been illegally listened into by rich and powerful people. It's quite a lot of evidence coming out that private information has been got by blaggers. And, of course, what David Cameron is trying to do, because let's not forget, we've got the Prime Minister in the frame here too, because he hired Andy Coulson, who was the editor of the News of the World at the time all this was going on.
Sure, he's involved.
To be his private helper with regards to the press, his press secretary, right the way through the run-up to the last year's election campaign and right up till recently when Coulson resigned. I mean, you know, this this is, I don't know if you realise, but actually Cameron is at the moment out in South Africa, which is a weird place. I mean, I just get alarm bells ringing in my head. What, you know, Cameron must be sitting out in South Africa saying, oh my God, what am I doing here? You know, I need to be back home to try and control this crisis. And I wonder whether there's a, it's ironic, isn't it, that there is also this skeleton in David Cameron's closet that back in 1991, at least if you go to Peter Eyre's blog, I don't know if you know that, but he's a former NATO intelligence chap, Peter Eyre's blog explains that Cameron, before he became Prime Minister, before he became leader of the Conservative Party, did a little deal with Arms Corps in South Africa who had 10 nuclear weapons that they wanted to get rid of, and three of those nuclear weapons, apparently by Cameron, were sold in order to raise money for the Conservative Party. Now, this sounds incredible, but if you go to Peter Eyre's blog, Eyre, you'll see the whole story there. Three nuclear weapons lost. And he,
no, I remember that. And wasn't Israel involved in the background, too?
That's right. Absolutely right, Alex. Yeah, you don't miss a trick. And
there was also race-specific bioweapons associated with another subgroup, but sorry.
So I imagine that David Cameron out in South Africa today is just literally trembling in his boots. He's wondering, when is my criminal activity going to come home here? And when are people going to find out that actually maybe there's more to this story to come?
And, well, Tony, that's where I was going next, and you're starting to get there. Blackmail, nuclear weapons. We know David Cameron hanging out with Gaddafi, groups that finance him, British arms producers, some of the biggest sellers of really high-tech weapons that our troops will be facing, and British troops if they do go in the next 2 months into Libya unless Gaddafi stands down. So that's what I'm saying. Why did this break now? If the other power structures in the UK...
I can tell you why it broke now, and it's amazing how this stuff happens. About 2 weeks ago, the Guardian newspaper published a story about a girl called Millie Dowler who was murdered, and it came out in the evidence that Nick Davis, this investigative journalist, a brilliant guy who wrote a book called Flat Earth News, he's probably the best investigative journalist in the country, based down in Brighton, and he put this story in the Guardian a couple of weeks ago about Millie Dowler and how her phone was hacked into by Glenn Mulcair for the News of the World. Now, what happened when her phone was hacked into, she'd been murdered, and what it meant that her phone was actually full up, her voicemail messages were full up, and what Mulcair was doing was actually deleting this murdered girl's phone messages so that he could pick up more information from other people who were worried about her. That story absolutely appalled the nation, and it's really accelerated this whole phone hacking scandal to the proper proportion, because it was a big attempt by the Murdoch Empire and by the Metropolitan Police to cover it up back 6 or 7 years ago, and what's happened, like I said, that dam has been kind of building ever since, and finally it's gone at last, you know, so at least more people are realising just how disgusting this was, hacking into the phones of the victims of the 7-7.
And so, so this is how they got Al Capone, was on tax evasion, not the murders, and clearly the police cover up, the bribes now coming out.
I think what's happened is you've got an establishment in Britain. I don't know, you know, how these things really work, but you've got a big establishment, which is not necessarily, it's generally right-leaning conservative, but many, many people in the Conservative Party are not happy at all with the example that David Cameron is making as a Conservative Prime Minister. I don't think that he has really won the hearts and minds of the Conservative Party in his first year or so in office. And so they are quite happy, I think, now to see him elbowed out of the way. And I think ultimately that will be the result of this crisis, that we see the Prime Minister being forced to resign as well, and possibly even a general election. I mean, Cameron has been fighting to have these four-year fixed-term parliaments, and now we know why. It's because he's been standing on very, very fragile ground. Quite how it all pans out is impossible to see, but I certainly think that the next person to be in the frame when he arrives back at Heathrow Airport from his little, nice little trip to South Africa is David Cameron.
He's probably down there checking on his bank accounts, isn't he?
Well, I bet he's sitting out there wondering, well, maybe I should just not go back to Britain, buy a nice house out here in South Africa and just enjoy the rest of my life on the beach, and maybe Britain is not the place for me.
Now, again, Tony Gosling is a former BBC researcher, has a radio show in England. His information has always been proven to be very accurate and well-researched, and wow, this really fleshes things out here.
Yeah, because Cameron has been saying, and I'll quote him now, the reason that Sir Paul Stevenson resigned is because it has his role in this whole affair has a direct bearing on public confidence in the police. Now, this is a funny thing to say, because David Cameron's decision to employ Andy Coulson, who was the editor of the News of the World, while all these horrendous criminal activities were going on, which nobody would have bought the paper if they knew this kind of way, but this is the way of the gang story.
Well, that's my point, is that Cameron is a protege, not just of Bilderberg, but also of Rupert Murdoch. Rupert Murdoch's full empire has been behind him, and here he is, hiring the head of the paper to work for him. I mean, he is right in the middle of this.
Yes, and all the last year or so, since Cameron was elected, he's been having regular meetings every couple of weeks with the chief executives of the news various parts of the News International Empire. So he has not realised. I mean, many of us could see this coming. When Andy Coulson was appointed to be his press secretary in the run-up to the general election, people were scratching their heads thinking, is Cameron blind? What is going on here? Because this guy is like a little ticking time bomb sitting in number 10 Downing Street. And that, I'm afraid that time bomb is going off right now.
Yeah, this is Nixonian to the mass, to the max, and the fact that he's run off to South Africa, the fact that all these different police chiefs are stepping down at the head of News Corp in the UK has been arrested over the weekend, the fact that they're opening up investigations in the United States and Australia. I'm going to talk about what this means for Rupert Murdoch, former BBC researcher, British radio talk show host, investigator. Tony Gosling is our guest for the rest of the short segment, the next little short segment. Tony, there's so many facets to cover, but how is this going to affect Murdoch? Because you can see this is imploding fast, and
yeah,
I smell blood.
To be honest with you, Alex, I think Murdoch's empire in Britain is really crumbling as we speak. That's going to be over, I think, maybe even within a month or something, because what's happened is he's got absolutely no credibility, and this is one of the things that you do actually need if you're going to get people to buy your newspapers and certainly pay to view on the internet, is you need to have some credibility. That is all crumbling around him. He's been even putting adverts in his own newspapers today to try and convince the readers that what they're reading is in some way useful or true or unbiased. But let me tell you, on the page 3 of the Times today, he's got a statement which is from the resignation speech of Sir Paul Stevenson, and he's selected extracts from it. And the most important thing that Sir Paul Stevenson said, which was criticising David Cameron himself, has been omitted from those extracts. So you can see the kind of people we're dealing with News International. Propagandists, pure propagandists. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if Murdoch's empire within, a month or so has just completely crumbled and disappeared here in Britain. One of the rules we have is that you've got to be a fit and proper person to run one of these big news companies, and I think he's proving beyond any shadow of a doubt that he's not a fit and proper person to do that.
Well, let me expand on that briefly.
The headlines in Britain are going to be on something tomorrow, which is called the Culture, Media and Sport Select Committee, which is where three people from News International, Rebecca Brooks, who's now been arrested and has been bailed, as well as Rupert Murdoch himself and James Murdoch, are all due to appear there tomorrow. So I imagine millions of eyes across the world will have their eyes on that. And what we're talking about here is a kind of epic struggle. It's like the Vatican versus the Crown here. Two big power networks. One is the British Parliament, and the other one is the Murdoch Empire. Absolutely daggers drawn in that culture, media, and sports.
And News Corp has a lot of dirt on the royal family and others they've been keeping, and so I wouldn't count Murdoch out yet. And I'll say this, just like I said with Dominic Strauss-Kahn, I don't like him, but the whole way that went down was suspicious, and now it's come out it was a setup. And all I'm saying, Tony, is I respect your view on this, and you're probably right, but at the same time, why are they going after Murdoch now? Is it that he was overshadowing the BBC and the state-run propagandist on that end? Was it that he was attempting to upset completely the old guard? I mean, sure, I believe the dirt's there, and it's a lot deeper than what they're saying, but why is it being brought out now? Back in 1 minute. Stay with us.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? So does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Now into hour number 2, Wayne Paul, minus 30 minutes. been fighting the Fed and the IRS for more than 50 years. Look forward to interviewing Wayne, been on several times in the past. Fellow Texan, Tony Gosling, Bilderberg.org, great talk show host, researcher, former BBC investigator. And bringing that up, look, News Corp's propaganda, so is the BBC. We know they've gotten very jealous of the power of News Corp. I know News Corp was trying to deregulate media, some would say, so they could, you know, take over in England. And we now know for 6 years the police have known about this and covered up the indiscretions of News Corp. So again, I go back to the start. Why are they bringing this out now? I'm not a fan of Dominique Strauss-Kahn or the IMF, but I thought it was suspicious at the time because normally these top globalists are untouchable. Why are they untouchable now? And I think you said it. There's a huge war going on, but certainly there are interests out there who aren't as pure as the driven snow either that'll be happy to see the fall of the News Corp holdings in England.
I think what's happened is that we've got a difference in attitude amongst the chiefs at News International. It's a kind of pack mentality. They're starting to run scared. They're starting to make mistakes. They're starting to sort of trip up slightly. And this has really given, I think, the British establishment, which is a peculiar beast, has given them the feeling that actually now they're smelling blood and they're going to go for it. Because particularly with the stories that came out about hacking the dead soldiers that had died in Afghanistan and Iraq, the hacking of the 7/7 victims, this is really like the final straw, I think. And let's not forget that Murdoch has not been loved in Britain. One of our greatest ever writers who came from my part of the world, the Forest of Dean, just into South Wales from where Bristol is in the West Country, he was one of the greatest writers we ever had. He died about 1993, but he named, before he died, his pancreatic cancer, he named it Rupert. And he made a speech on British television and at the Royal Television Society about this, saying, look, Rupert Murdoch is a cancer, and we've got to get rid of this cancer somehow. And before he died, that's what he said. And I think there's a feeling which has been going on for a long time. Let's not forget, Murdoch bought the Times in 1981.
But this, hold on, this isn't the revenge of Soros, though. I'm not saying Murdoch's good, but, I mean, Murdoch has really been bringing kind of the Al Gorean carbon tax collectivist to their knees at many levels, while at the same time ordering News Corp in the U.S. to promote global warming. And this isn't just an inter-establishment coup, counter-coup?
I don't think so. No, I think it's fueled by genuine anger about these, particularly about these hacking into murdered children's telephones, hacking into the phones of dead soldiers and their families, hacking into the phones of 7/7 victims whilst they may be in hospital. Or this is absolutely appalling.
All right, in closing, what about the reports?
What's fueling all this right now? I don't think there's any kind of weird conspiracy behind it, but it has been a dam, Alex, which has been building right since the 1980s. You know, the press in Britain really died in the 1980s with Rupert Murdoch's takeover of the Times newspaper in 1981, right the way through to the takeover of the BBC in 1986, which was the last time that we had a director general of the BBC who actually was a proper current affairs program maker. That he was replaced by an accountant. We've had all sorts of clones, business
mighty people. We're out of time.
And this dam has been building. The other thing that many people don't realise in that part of the world is that Rupert Murdoch, at the time of the last election, as part of the deal for supporting Cameron and his friends, has been lobbying like crazy for the undermining of the BBC. And I think, you know, most of the establishment in this country is much more pro-BBC than it is an internationalist like Murdoch. We like to think that we do actually have our own broadcasting system.
Right.
That comes from Britain. And Murdoch has made a big mistake in trying to attack the BBC.
Well, we're out of time, Tony. Let me get you back as this unfolds. But I agree, this is a BBC seizing on it. And I tell you, Murdoch, BBC, I don't know which one of those things floating around in the water smells worse, but we'll continue to track it and follow it. You mentioned the infighting. His daughter reportedly is having cussing fits, so they're definitely in deep trouble. Thank you so much.